Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast. And if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. It has been just a great week when we think about missions and having our partners here. And, you know, this series is titled Life on Mission. It's life on His mission. And this life that we have to be lived on mission. And I am so grateful that in this church that we have so many people who know what that means. And they are a tremendous example to us. So I'd actually just like to ask all of our mission partners to stand where they're at. Most of them are going to be standing over here because they're at their tables doing their job, so good. Thank you, guys. And if you're a part of their pit crew, please stand up. Any of our partners, the pit crews. Thank you. You guys can sit down, and these flags obviously represent that place that those faces and those individuals represent. And we are talking about life on mission, and we're also looking at the last words of Jesus Christ that give us the indication as to what we should be doing. And Acts tells us this. And last week, Sam talked about what it is to be a witness, to share, to speak of, to live out. And he described the places. And again, this is important that we are to do this, be witnesses for Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And that's where he stopped. And today we are going to look at the last phrase of the last words, of the last statement that Jesus said. It's to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. I want you, my children, my followers, to go to the ends of the earth. And then he's gone. So today we're focusing on just that last phrase, to the ends of the earth. And we have a special guest here. His name is Chris Jones, and he has a beautiful wife and two lovely kids, Evie and Jensen and Harlan. And they are church planners and Bible translators in Papua New Guinea. And I've known Chris for about 10 years. In fact, we were just getting back from New Guinea just when they were going, and got to go to Christ Covenant, which here in town is their home church. And it was just great to go there and to be able to be behind them as Christ Covenant sent them out. And so they have moved to Papua New Guinea. And they moved to a place that's the ends of the earth. So we're going to have Chris come up. You can welcome him. And I'm going to ask him a few questions. And I may have to interpret for him. He's been in the jungle for quite a few years, so this is, you know, all these lights and stuff, Chris, it's all going to be good. But
well, it's a pleasure to be here, though. I mean, look at your beautiful face again.
Yeah, there you go. So known you 10 years, have seen a lot of things that God has done in and through you. But I want to go back in your story to be even before I met you. Describe why and how you ended up on this journey of going to the ends of the earth.
Man, yeah, where to start? I ask myself the same question sometimes, but dude, it really boils down to, man, back when I was in Bible school, and I was being taught God's word, man, from the beginning, you know, from Genesis all the way through to the end, the Lord just started to impress on me that his heartbeat was for the nations. to see every tongue, tribe, and nation reached with the gospel, and to see members of each tongue, tribe, and nation join his church. And man, that hit me like a ton of bricks when they took us through Christ's last words on this planet. And I mean, it struck me, man, like these were his marching orders. And as I started to look around and realize that, you know, all of the tribal people, they don't speak Spanish or Chinese or anything like that, but there are thousands of languages that still, 2,000 years after he gave the command, haven't been reached. Like, how have we moved the needle in 2,000 years? It's hard to say, and when I realized that, just boom, like a ton of bricks, you know? I was like, dude, if this is what God's heart beats for, this is what I can do for the rest of my life and make it count. What else was I going to do? You know, cook my time working on a bigger house or a nicer car? It's worthless.
Yeah. Well, it's not just Chris. We got a couple pictures just to his family. So you're taking your family there. So that's got implications to it. But describe pulling up on the river. It's right on the river. And you're there and you're walking in the village. What was that like?
Indescribable. I mean, we've all seen it on National Geographic, I think. But yeah, these are our people. This is Pei. And it's more than just a language. I mean, you're struck with that instantly, right away. You're like, what the heck are these people saying about me? They must be gossiping about me.
I have an idea what they might.
Sure you do. I know what they'd say about you. But yeah, like, beyond just the language barrier, I mean, there's a cultural barrier. You realize very quickly that these people see the whole world through a completely different lens. And man, just as the story of the Bible was unfolded for me from beginning to end, like, you can't just go in here and tell these people about Jesus. They have no context for it, you know? And so to preach the gospel to a people where, man, their world is full of spirits, how do you distinguish Jesus or our God, right, from just another one of theirs? And it's a huge task, and one that's takes years.
Yeah, it is years. But so you're asking us that question. We don't know. That's why you're here, Chris.
Oh.
So what do you do? So you learn language, you learn culture, you build relationships, you become a part of their life, but then you teach. But how do you teach, and how does that look?
Yeah, we do. We spend all this time learning the culture and learning language, but in the process, developing these relationships. We have to teach the Bible chronologically, man, from beginning to end, from Genesis all the way through to the Ascension, because without that, right, where do you situate Jesus? We want to tell them that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for sin, but man, who is this guy? You have to fill those things in, and it took us 11 weeks, and man, without those relationships that we had built during culture and language learning, man, just shoulder to shoulder with them, like in the jungle hunting pigs or catching fish or just building houses, without those relationships, they weren't going to, you know, sit there for 11 weeks and listen to me, like, unfold God's story for them. And so that's what it took, you know, and I thank God for these relationships and our relationships with them.
And last year, a church was born in Pei, and that means people came to faith. And one of those people is a guy named Benny. Tell us about Benny.
Benny, dude. Yeah, I mean, when we moved in, we all had to be adopted into. I mean, if you think about it, every Pei person for their whole life is related to everybody that they've ever seen, and so we were adopted into these clans, these clan groups, and Benny happened to be my wife's brother, and so he's kind of a seedy guy, kind of a thief, and you know, not the most upstanding Pei person, but because we were adopted into these clans, you know, he kind of had to maintain a respectable relationship with us. And as we started to teach them how to read and write their own language for the first time, and that he saw how much effort was being poured into just teaching them to read, he was like, oh man, like, these guys are not just here to throw clothes at us, to civilize us, to vaccinate us. They're here for something more than that. And man, Benny, because of those relationships, because of that relationship with Benny, he stuck around for all 11 weeks. And man, 11 weeks later, dude, this guy, as we say, got in Yahweh's canoe. And we'll all see him in eternity because of that. So we're praising the Lord.
So maybe worth it?
It's hard to say. We'll know. We'll know on the other side. Yeah. But absolutely, absolutely.
So all of the pay people are on a card, and you guys have one of these on your seat. And somebody has Benny. So be praying for Benny. But for the rest of you, there's a picture. There's a brief bio. There's a description. It tells you. And we're just going to ask you to take these cards and pray for the pay. Many of the pay people did not sit there for the 11 weeks for lots of different reasons. And they have not yet heard the good news, and they need to hear the good news. And so pray for their salvation. Pray that they would come to understand what Christ has done for them too. So I'd ask you to take those and pray for those. Thank you so much, Chris.
No problem. I love you, buddy.
Thanks. Is that it? You're good. Acts 1:8 and 9, the last words of Christ. You know what they say, but I want to read them to you again. I want you to think about this in the context that it was actually said. There's a small group of believers. They're still doubting, it says. It says some doubted. After the resurrection, some still doubt. God speaks. And Christ, his Son, is now speaking to them, and he says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." To the ends of the earth, my witnesses. And then after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. That's the last thing he said, to the ends of the earth. So my question is this: how is it possible that 2,000 plus years later, there are still 2,900 plus languages, people groups, at the ends of the earth that no one has gone to? Think of the context. Jesus in Matthew 17 had said in the future to his disciples, "I am going to build my church." And he is. He then is crucified and he's risen again. He's ascended. And as we heard from Scott a couple weeks ago, he's sitting on the right hand of God with all authority and all power. Not only that, he sends his Holy Spirit into his children, into his people, so that they'd have the power, not their own, his power, to do his mission, which is everyone hearing the gospel. Everyone, even people that live up rivers in Papua New Guinea, or up a mountain trail in the Himalayas, that the gospel would go to the ends of the earth and that we as his people would take it. How is it possible that there's almost 3,000 of these groups at the ends of the earth that still don't have the gospel? That should burden us. We're starting in our series, actually basically continuing this series next week in the book of Acts, because there are things that God has done. There's things that God wants to do. And we do know that he's going to accomplish his purpose. But I want to point out something. I don't know what you think when you think about least reached people or the ends of the earth, other than I don't want to go there. If you don't have that feeling, you should. Like, there's a reason it's at the end of the earth. It's a reason those people haven't heard, while many of us have. It's hard to get to. It's hard to stay there. It's hard to live there. There's language and culture barriers. There's difficulties. There's no medical treatment. There aren't conveniences. It's hard. All that's true. But picture this again. Acts 1:8. Jesus is speaking to just a handful of believers. Yes, the 11 disciples, for sure. Probably 200-300 other people. In 17 years, in Acts 17, we see something so different. In 17 years, a couple hundred people did what this passage says. And Paul and Silas are missionaries, and they've reached, not just them, but the church has reached Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and now they are going to the ends of the earth, and they're going out, they're in Asia Minor, they've gone to Thessalonica, and they're preaching the gospel, and a mob gets started, and so they have to flee, and where Paul was staying is a guy named Jason. He was staying with Jason. And so this is what happens. The mob is coming to them. And they go in and they're looking for Paul. They're going to beat him. And when they could not find him, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them. And they are acting against the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." Did you catch that phrase? They turned the world upside down. These poor fishermen, these beat down, afraid, doubting children of God, followers of Christ, simply with the power of the Holy Spirit, did what Christ had told him to do right before he left. And in 17 years, almost 1,000 miles away, believers were known as people who turned the world upside down. Because that is the power of the gospel. That is the power of our witness when we share Christ with other people. That's what he has the power to do. But we have an opportunity as a church. We have an opportunity as individuals to be a part of his mission for our lives. For our church. The instructions, the commandment hasn't changed. I know this because Scripture tells us this in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. And this is a scene in heaven someday. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from every tribe and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Así eres tú. We're going to be singing that. With someone from every tribe, tongue, and nation, from Payland and these other places at the ends of the earth that people haven't gone. Someday that's going to happen. The question is when? When? Who will go? Who will send? We know how it ends. It ends with people from every one of these, from the ends of the earth, in heaven, with us, singing praises to God and to the Lamb of God who took away our sin. That's where it ends. And we're in this parenthesis. And us, like that first church, have opportunities to believe what God says, to be involved with what God says, and go where God says, and live the way he says, and take the message and be witnesses in the way that he says. There's two responses that I would expect. One is just a desire to be that kind of church that will go and will send. that each and every one of us has a part to go. And if you don't go, then you have the responsibility to send. I wonder what the next 17 years will look like for us. I wonder if people would say in 17 years, as we follow him to wherever he takes us, that we're turning the world upside down because the power of the gospel. That's my prayer. That's the hope. I actually believe God says he would do that. We're going to watch a video of another friend of mine. He's actually a Molyneux person. He has a special place in my heart. He was one of the first people. He's like Benny. He got saved, and for lots of reasons, as he heard the gospel, he believed and accepted it. Him and his brother, who were two of my best friends, and they eventually became leaders in the church, elders in the church, and teachers in the church, and they and many others God has used. And some of you don't know the story. Most of you do, but there are six churches in Papua New Guinea in a different location that was once a least reached people group that isn't a least reached people group anymore. In fact, now they have the same responsibility that we have to be the kind of church that turns the world upside down. So this is a good friend of mine named Kaywaka. He was actually, he was introducing his family at the start, if you saw that. He's the one that says, yes, and my other son have no idea where he's at running around. That's Kaywaka. And this is Kaywaka's prayer for us. So go ahead and show the video.
Okay, le nakim so na pawul na tawul pa ga naul pu pene ko panam tamol so ngan ga tilong naul pu pene ka uta me pu pu sik tilong naul pu pene ko me naul pu pu ye to ai su pe la lai la o se ba o nam tamol ti ge la ta itamun me ta pawul na tawul itamam na tawul embra pagampai si yum kusung ata yum enga me yum pupam ata e lavata nurung yum kugini nal me yum kusung na pano tale le ko me na tawlo yum atam pagnam tamo me kim sunam tamo le wolinga sebat nal pagna ko ko le ko me na vata um so kugira pagre na wanga resongan remore wa ire kenarum pane ko WCC ngura pagar mora su ire su pati ke velura tane ko me tipo to ayu ne mura ta me ke tige na upu ko na pila ke na pano terenga ko ire tlonga na upu ko na ka uta terenga nal pagar me terenga nal pagar au na na ta ulam nal so ire pati so le am tla ke na renga na ni la u sit longa na upu ko na ka u ta na uta so ko ke na ro so na u ba ngare so an ti so pati ko to missionary ke tige yum le mo upu ko na ko ila tiro de padre me ire pu isu patin regel gal iba yem pu me tibra pa kan pasis me tibu sa pro pa me na patam pa na tanga na kon ke tunga chi se pasis.
I hope as you read that you understood the power of the Holy Spirit. He went from darkness to light, he and his family and hundreds of other Molyneux people. And maybe you didn't catch this, but he thanked WCC for sending us. And you guys did. And he was asking God to open our hearts up to do that again. That we would see the people that are least reached and our heart would be moved the way God would want it to be moved. So as a church, we would send again so that another place can praise God like he's able to now. Another place could be spared from what's awaiting them in eternity, and rather they might be able to sing praises with the rest of us. We need to either go or we need to send. Let's stand up as we worship.
Bye.
our great God saved us by sending his Son. Our great God gave us his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ living within us. And our great God wants us to go and be his witnesses so that the whole world could sing his praises in his presence forever. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are just amazed at your greatness, your goodness. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Spirit. God, I pray you would ignite in our hearts a love for you, a deep love for you, and we would get to know you better. We would follow you more closely, and we would go wherever it is you want us to go. And we'd connect our lives, and God, that this church would connect ourselves to your plans and your purposes. That in 17 years that this town, this county, this country, this world would be turned upside down because we were willing to follow you and preach the gospel and witness of you and your great love. We worship you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at www.warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.